Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. Again, we want to just welcome everybody. We are so glad that you are here. We want to really quick release all the high school, junior high. You could go out and be with Alex in the back there, and you can have your service back there. Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And we are believing God for great things. I was just, I have been today in these services, I have been captivated by the thought that today is the last day of 2023, and that tomorrow we're stepping into a new year. And you know, for some of us, and I say this with some real seriousness, for some of us, 2023 wasn't necessarily a good year. We struggled. We had some difficult time. But that's the great thing about God, is that God says there's going to come a new day. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. That's his promise. I will do a new thing. That's the thing about God. He's always refreshing. He's always reviving. He's always restoring. He's always doing something new. Aren't you glad that God does not get stuck? Nor does he leave us stuck. Amen. He takes us on. He says, come on, let's go. Grab a hold of me and let's go into our future and let's just see what I'll do for you. Amen. And I believe God's got a great plan for you. This morning, I'm not going to be ministering to you this morning. Many of you know that this whole last week, my family and I, we were off up into Williams and we were doing our family Christmas time. That's what we do. And so I've asked a great friend to come and to minister to you this morning. And this man, him and I go back, I think the first time I met him was back in 1999. And I met him in Kenya. And we had such a wonderful time there. And throughout the years, we've just built our relationship. And so let's give Pastor Philemon Wachera a great big hand as he comes. And he's going to minister to you. And I can tell you that the message that he did at 8:30, it was off the hook. It'll touch your life. So let's just welcome him and receive all that God has. Amen. Amen. Praise God,
thank
brother.
You, John. Appreciate it. Amen. Good morning. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be back here at New Life and share the Word of God with you. Thank you so much, Pastor John and Kathy, for the warm welcome and for the congregation. And Jen and I, my wife is over there, so glad that she was able to come with me. And we have four children, all adults now, ranging between 30 and 19. And so we thank the Lord for that. But I just want to say that it's a real pleasure to be here and just to see the great things that God is doing. I mean, this sanctuary looks beautiful. I mean, even just from the last time that I was here. And it's wonderful. Not only does it look beautiful, but the worship is awesome. Did you guys feel the presence of the Lord this morning? Man, it's just wonderful. It's the place to be. And so just a little bit, you know, to bring you to speed about the connection just really quickly. So way back in 1987, I was just a young man off of high school, and a missionary from the United States ended up in Kenya preaching at my dad's church. His name is Brian Yeager. Some of you may know him. And at the time, I wasn't looking to be in full-time ministry, even though I grew up in a Christian family. But I was more wanting to, you know, my desire was to become a lawyer and then make some money, support my dad. But when Brian came and preached at our church, the Lord and I had business to do. And you know how he'll take your arm and twist it. So the Lord actually really dealt with me. Nothing that Brian said. He just preached. But that night, I could not sleep because the Lord kept speaking to me and saying, what if I changed your plans? What if I wanted you to do something different? So needless to say, that's how I ended up responding to the call of God. And I worked with Brian for a few months. And then a tall guy showed up, you know, and his name, I think, is Alex Wilson. And he came to be a missionary in a different city. But man, from the moment he came, he was funny and he, you know, and so him and I just hit it from there. And we just had a good fellowship. And then it connected back to the church in Kingman. And that's how I got to meet, you know, John and Kathy and you know, the rest of the people, Howard, when he was still here. So it's been a long history that we've had with this church. And you guys have partnered with us in Africa because Jen and I were pastors there. And we actually have a little over 30 churches that are going right now that we are still connected to. And in 1999, I believe, is when John and Alex came. Amen. That was just such a good time. Amen. So I just wanted to kind of give you that so that you know that even though I'm up in Flagstaff, I belong here. You know, and so we have some great connection. In 2006 is when my family came in Northern Kentucky, Ohio. We went to school there for 8 years, and then we ended up in Flagstaff. I would never have imagined ever in my life that I would end up in Flagstaff. But one thing I'm glad about is I'm closer to John and Alex. They straightened me out. So anyway, I'm so thankful to the Lord. So thank you for welcoming me this morning. I want to share the word of the Lord with you and pray that it will speak to your heart as we cross into this next year. And greetings for our church in a Flagstaff Presence Community Church. Amen. So I want to open up with this story that I read, and it just I pray that it'll speak something to you. But, you know, a couple in Minneapolis decided to go to Florida to thaw out during a particularly icy winter. And so they planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years before. And so because of their hectic schedules, it was difficult to coordinate their travel schedule. So the husband left Minneapolis and flew down to Florida on a Friday. And his wife was flying down the following day. So the husband checked into the hotel, and unlike years ago, there was a computer in the room. And so he decided to send an email to his wife. However, accidentally, you know, he left out one letter in her email address. And without noticing his error, he sent the email to the wrong address. And so meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. And, you know, so he was a minister who was called, you know, called home to glory after suffering a heart attack. And the widow decided to check her email. So expecting a message from the relatives, you know, from relatives and friends, after reading the first message, she screamed and then fainted. So the widow's son rushed into the room and found his mother on the floor and then glanced up and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife, date Friday, October 13th, 2005. Subject, I have arrived." And proceeds to say, "Dearest love, I know you are surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now. And you are allowed to send email to your loved ones. I have just arrived and have been checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. And I look forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is uneventful as mine was. P.S. Sure, it is hot down here." What would you do? Wouldn't you faint? You know something, the enemy is so good at sending us contrary messages in life. Sometimes even things that are not meant for us, to make us believe that it is over and that we are not good enough and that we haven't run the race well. But I'm here to give you good news from his word. You can trust this email. You can trust this word. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning about focusing on your faith race, focusing on your faith race. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and honor you for your presence here, for your spirit. Lord, we thank you just for sensing you and knowing that even coming to the end of 2023, crossing into 2021, that, Lord, your spirit and your presence is with us. So I just thank you, Lord, for being here. Take your word and use it for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
So somebody said that running without purpose, persistence, or perspective can be a dangerous thing because then there is no focus. And as we come to the end of this year, I believe that it is really important that as believers, we have our minds focused on one thing, and that is the race of faith that God has set ahead of us. Because it doesn't end with 2023. It begins again and continues in 2024. Can you say amen to that? And so as I come to you in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, I pray that this scripture will speak to you, and I'm reading from the Voice translation. And the word of God says from verse 1 to 3 that so, since we stand surrounded by all those who have gone before us, an enormous cloud of witnesses, let us drop every extra weight, even every sin that clings to us and slackens our pace, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Now, stay focused on Jesus. Don't you love that? Stay focused on Jesus, who designed and perfected our faith. He endured the cross and ignored the shame of that death because he focused on the joy that was set before him. And now he's seated beside God on the throne, a place of honor. Consider the life of the one who endured such personal attacks and hostility from sinners so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. We need to focus. We need to bring our focus to the race that God has set before us, the race of faith. Somebody say amen. Amen. So the wisdom of Proverbs tells us that without a vision, people perish in Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no, actually, another translation says that where there is no prophetic revelation, the people cast off the restraint. And I love that word. Where there is no prophetic revelation, another translation says vision. Prophetic simply means it is not just another vision. It's not just an idea. Prophetic means it's divinely connected. It means that the vision we have is connected to God. We are not just thinking our thoughts and then feeding them to the people. Pastor John and Kathy and the pastors in here, they have a prophetic revelation that is guiding this congregation to a certain goal, and that is that someday we'll stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And that what is done here is not that anybody would get glory. Prophetic vision, which looks to the future that God has set ahead of us. And we need to focus on that. It's not a one-day thing. It's a continuous thing. So without it, without that focus, that divine revelation, divine vision, the people perish. And then Habakkuk tells us in chapter 2, verse 2 to 3, the Lord speaking to him because he was flabbergasted. Habakkuk, as a prophet, wondered why all these kind of things were happening, and it just seems like nothing good was coming out of it. So the Lord gives him a vision, gives him a focus. He said, don't be distracted by that. Focus on what I'm revealing to you. Then he tells him, write down the revelation, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Write down the revelation and make it plain on a tablet so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks to the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. Somebody say, wait for it. Wait for it. It's coming. The enemy may be sending a wrong email, but wait for it. God's going to do what he said he'd do. Can somebody say amen? Right now, he may be telling you all kinds of things. How 2023 has not been, and true, it has been difficult, as Pastor John said. But let me tell you, it will not always be like that. If you keep your prophetic focus on what God has said, 2024 may just be the best year that is yet to come. Somebody say amen. Come on, let's give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. So he tells Habakkuk that don't be distracted by the negative things that are happening. There is a faith race ahead of you. Focus on what I'm revealing to you. Don't focus on the sideshow. Somebody say amen. Sometimes people in the church focus on the sideshow. God is saying this, but they are often distracted by what? Oh, did you hear about sister so-and-so? Or did you hear about, oh, brother so-and-so? Oh, do you know the latest that is happening? No, don't be distracted by that. Focus on the faith race. Can somebody say amen? Some people just have an affinity. They are attracted by all the gossip. They just lean towards that. And the Lord says, focus your mind on what God wants you to do. There is a revelation here. When I read on the wall, reach, restore, release, that's a wonderful focus. Let's concentrate on that. Somebody say amen. Let's come behind the leaders and let's run this faith rest. Let us save Kingman. Let us save people from drugs. Let us save the homeless. Let us save people that are suffering. Let's reach them. Let's restore them. Let's release them for the glory of God. If you keep that focus, the devil will leave you alone. Write it down. The book of Hebrews is a powerful book. You know, there is different themes that you could get from it, but one of the themes is faith. Faith is a huge part of what this scripture talks about. Trust in God. Not just faith as Christian, faith as just believing, but our trust in God. And I can tell you, God's people, I can tell you, America, there is nowhere else that hope comes from except in God. If you're hoping that politics is going to solve it, I'm sorry, it's not there. If you're hoping that the government system will solve it, I don't know, you try. I'm not saying it's wrong to have thank God for America. Thank God for systems that work. But real hope ought to be in God. Real focus ought to be on Jesus. On our faith race that God has set before us. And so Hebrews brings out this idea of faith. And if you want to know, if you go back and read the book of Hebrews, it's almost like God keeps saying he brings the son and he says the son is better. He brings the covenant and he says this covenant is better. And the idea is always to build your faith that when God is in it, it is always better. Better covenant, better faith, better grace. It's always better. And it builds up that theme and helps you and say, the priests were good, but Jesus is better. That system seemed good and it worked, but Jesus is better. And all these things are crowned and brought together so they can help build your faith in God. Amen. That's the focus. And then he tells you about the people in chapter 11. The idea is to tell you, look at what they did. And some of them succeeded greatly. Some of them great men and women of faith. Some of them didn't do that well. Some of them failed. But look, they made the list. You can have faith in God that even when you think you don't have it in you, if you have faith in God, he will carry you along and you can make it. Come on, somebody, say hallelujah. You have to believe in what God is doing and what he's saying. And he's saying that in order for that to happen, there needs to be faith and effort and endurance and passion that we have to believe what God says. Isn't it a wonderful thing that in our walk and in our race, there is always steady progress. The Christian life is never stagnant. It never stops. It's always steady, continues growing, discovering, moving forward, and never backward. Thank God we are never called to go backwards. Amen. Always reaching forward. So whatever you are, I'm not sure as we are spending this day, the 31st, whatever messages the enemy has brought your way. But the writer in Hebrews tells us to consider at least three things that I want you to consider with me. And it's interesting that he could have said, I want you to have to do this. This is just something you must do. But he's involved in a persuasion. We don't know who the writer is, but theologically, there is a persuasion. He's bringing an argument. And what he's saying is, I want you to think about it. Consider this idea. And I know all of us have independent minds. But God is calling you on this day, the 31st, 2023 of December, would you let this idea sink in? Just let it think for a moment. Sometimes you may think, faith, church, just let it sit for a moment. Think about it. Just consider. You know, Pastor John may be saying something up here, or Pastor Alex, or somebody, or any other preacher, or whoever it is up here that the Lord is using. A lady may be preaching here, and you say, but let it sit for a moment. Consider. He's persuading the people, give it a moment, give it a thought. Just let it sit for a moment and see what God does with it. Wait for it. Just wait for it, and God will do what he said he would do. Consider, so one of the things he says is consider the witnesses, because the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 12, so since we stand surrounded by all those who have gone before us, an enormous cloud of witnesses, let us drop every extra weight, every sin that clings to us and slackens our pace, and let us run with endurance the long race set before us. Somebody say amen. Several things that he mentions that are really profound here. We are surrounded by these giants of faith, or these people that look like they failed, but they rose up again. And I want to say this. You are always surrounded by something or someone. But all of us are surrounded by something. The question I ask is, who surrounds you? And what surrounds you? That's important, because what surrounds you may determine whether you succeed or you fail. Who surrounds you may determine whether you go forward or move backward. But I think that as we come to the end of the year, it is important to do some evaluation of your life and say, what is it that surrounds me? But the Bible tells us that we need to check our surrounding, the people. And as we look at chapter 11, is that crowd, that greater cloud of witness that is surrounding us. And as we look at them, we need to learn from them. They're not saying anything. Their statement is by what they did. Somebody say amen. Their statement is just like, we are here, we are cheering you on, because we know the faith race, we know it's not easy, but we are here for you. If you come through a hard time and you have failed, David is saying, you know what? You can go back and read about me. I've been there. I was there. If you're thinking that, man, I got this vision, but I'm struggling, Abraham will tell you, well, I know about that. The Lord spoke to me, but I never moved quick enough. You can go read and you will find out. But there are places where I messed, but there are places where I obeyed. There is a greater cloud of witness that surrounds you that you can learn from. And it will give you the power, the ability to move forward. Somebody say amen. And I read about some of them in Hebrews 11, 32 to 35. The Bible says, how much more do I need to say? I would take long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David and Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their witnesses were turned to strength. And I like that. Guys, listen to me. We read the first part and it sounds like, man, I can't be that. But when I read this, their weaknesses were turned into strength. How many of you would say that, would confess that, I've so needed God to turn my weaknesses into strength? Me too. Me too. Even as a man of God, or even as a pastor, there are so many times that I've sat down and talked to Jane and said, do you think I'm a good leader? Because sometimes you get beaten. Sometimes the enemy just sends wrong messages, and sometimes sends wrong people to say wrong things. It's just life. Somebody say amen. Whether you're a pastor, you're out there, you're at work, these things will happen. And sometimes you feel so inadequate. And I've got to go back to God's word and focus on the revelation of God's word, that he turns weaknesses into strength. Focus on the race that God has for you. They become strong in battle. They might not have started, but they became strong in battle. Sometimes you become stronger as you fight. Somebody say amen. You start off and it's like, I don't know. But as you fight and as you move, you become stronger. And God continues to build you. Listen, that's why we need this crowd around us. When I have a question, I can come to John and say, John, what do you think? How is this, Alex? How did you do it? How did you make it? What did you do? Because there is a crowd of witnesses that surrounds me. And so he says, consider this witnesses that are around you. And then he says, drop every weight and every sin. And so weight would just mean that there are things in your life that are not necessarily sin, but they are holding you back. Somebody say amen. It's not necessarily sin, but it's holding you back. It may be an attitude thing. It may be an unforgiveness. It may be a bitterness or just something you have that's happened to you in the past that you carry along. And you carry it along. And every time something happens, there is triggers, it becomes a weight. So whether it's a weight or a sin that causes you not to run, you need to drop it. And so I'm just saying, you know, and I say this. You know, being originally from Kenya, I know that because Kenyans are known for running, long distance especially. And so every time, you know, somebody would meet me, they would say, oh, you come from Kenya. You guys are the runners, right? I don't run. I just want to put that out there. In case you think of enrolling me in a race, no, I don't run. But one thing that I have noticed is that these runners, they don't have a lot on themselves. They really try to make sure that the baggage is off. They don't want to carry weight. They want to run as light as possible. You've got to think about the race that's ahead of you and watch the weight that you may be carrying around that may hinder you. What's that sin? What is it that's going to stop you from running when you come to 2024? So consider the witnesses. And then number two, he says, consider ourselves. How many of you understand that we could be the greatest hindrance to ourselves? We could talk ourselves out of success. We can talk ourselves out of ministry. We can talk ourselves out of a job. We can talk ourselves out of a family. We can talk ourselves out of a career. You can be your great enemies. And there are times that I have done that. Can somebody say amen? The spies that were sent into Canaan. I mean, they went in there and they themselves came back with a report. Two believed we can take the land. But 10 said, no, we can't do it. No, we are too small. There are giants over there and we are like grasshoppers. In the giants didn't say that. They concluded that of themselves. They became their worst enemies. Are you your worst enemy? Are you doing a self-defeating talk? Consider yourself. He says, move with caution. Run this faith with caution, understanding that there are pitfalls. You have to watch out so that you can lay aside every encumbrance. Let us drop every weight, every sin that clings to us and slackens our pace. And let us run with endurance the long race set before us. Listen to me. McLaren once said, a race is just a race until it is set by God, until it becomes God's race. Somebody say amen. And how I like to say this is, you know, sometimes when you're invited places, I mean, the degrees matters, you know. So when I invite you, it's like, yeah, you know, did you, Philemon invited us, so we're going to go over there. But if the president invited somebody, it's like, I got an invitation. Did you know? If some celebrity invited us, like, ooh, I got an invitation. And it goes up another level. But listen to me. This is a race. Like when you're doing a race with your family, it's just a race. But man, when there is a prize and it is a name, it goes up higher. This race is not just a race I thought about or that the church thought about. This is a God-given race. It's been set by Jehovah. Listen to me. New life is not here by a man's design. Man was used to initiate the work, but it is a God-designed race. This is a God-ordained work. Somebody say amen. And the Bible says, I will build my church according to Jesus, and the gates of hell will not prevail. If you believe that, can you say amen? The gates of hell will not prevail. Focus on the race that's ahead of us. A few things I want to give you, and then we shall pray. So what he's saying is this: God has set a race. It is an important race. We need to think about it. We need to focus on it. We need to move with an assurance. And so here is what he says. Drop every weight. Drop every sin. I want to suggest to you, God is asking you and I to run light. Somebody say amen. Drop the weights. Drop the sin. Drop everything. Run light. No extra weight. And you don't need any baggages to bring with you. Romans 13:12, the Bible says, the night is nearly over. The day has drawn near. So let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way as to take the prize. Listen to me. The idea is the race that we have in the book of Hebrews is not just a walk. It's not just a stroll. It's just not just a choice that we just made. I'm just going to run. The idea is it is a race, but it is a contest with the enemy. The enemy is always trying to get you because he doesn't like the fact that you're running for God. So he's going to try to do everything he can to discourage you. But the Bible says we have to run in such a way that we will obtain the prize. We have to run with our eyes focused on the faith in Christ. Run light. And then number two, we have to run clean, dropping all. No, you know, isn't it interesting that even with the normal races, we have problems with doping? You know, where people will try to do shortcuts. You know, if I could just do something extra, a little on my own and discard the rules and then somehow finagle my way into it. God is saying, there is no shortcuts in the kingdom. Have you discovered that yet? There is no shortcuts in the kingdom. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it right. You're going to do it right. You're going to run right. The race has some codes. It has some rules. Run it clean. Philippians 3:7, the Bible says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ's sake. It's going to involve letting some things go. And so, we have to run the race as the Lord has set it for us. Run light, run clean, run with resilience, run resiliently. Endurance and effort is part of it. I know sometimes we want things to, you know, to go easy, but it'll take some effort. Somebody say amen. You know, it's crazy. And I remember fondly, you know, times when I first came to, you know, to America. And I'm still amazed. It's just as things that are just really easy that when I came from Kenya, you know, in order to get a meal, you had to go to the kitchen. Well, you had to run after the chicken. I mean, if you're as a guest, you know, if you're going to have a meal, somebody has to go after the chicken, you know. And then you got to go after it. Then you got to kill it. Amen. And then you got to defeather it, you know. Whatever, I mean, you can pluck the feather, put it on. I mean, it was a whole process. And you had to have a lot of stories while waiting for that process. And then finally the food will make it on the table. And man, you appreciated it. I just remembered when we came and we were going to, I don't know what we were going to get. I don't know if it was a donut or something. And the guy told me, we're going to go through a drive-thru. I said, drive what? Yeah, drive what? And we go, you know, they go to this speaker, then order the food, and somebody talks from the other side, and we drive up, and out of this building, and these two hands comes donuts and coffee. It's like, well, what a life! It almost seems like speaking to God on the other side of. Somebody say amen. And then another one that jived me is we were going through a bank. I mean, going to a bank in Africa was a journey. Alex, you remember. I mean, it was line after line. I mean, you could go in the bank and there's lines circling inside several times. Outside. I mean, everybody outside knows you're going there for money. So the people that you are telling are have no money, they see you lining at the bank and they say, oh, yeah. We're going to wait because we need some loans. But over here, so we drive through, and the guy said, well, I want to deposit some check and get some money. And so, we drove through, and he had the checks, and he we got to the drive through, and he got this thing, put some check in, and I'm like, and then it came back, receipting some money. And I'm like, this is good. Maybe I can punch in something and the money just comes to me. I'm like, maybe this is where the Lord should drop some money for me. I mean, this is too good to be true. So the life here, we are so spoiled. I wish that's the way it was. But in order for it to really happen in the kingdom, the Lord is asking us, are you going to be persistent? Are you going to have some faith? Are you going to engage yourself? Are you going to be persistent? And the idea of persistency, of effort in everything we do, is not to make you suffer. It's actually to make you grow. You become stronger. You become better as you focus on what God is doing. This faith rest. Like he said, he turned their weakness into strength. The process of persistence and effort is how you grow and you become a mature Christian. Somebody say amen. That when you fight the battles, you know, the reason we celebrate our generals is because they've been in war. It's not because they stayed at home and made phone calls and say, hey, are you, go ahead. Fight. It's because they've been in war, they've fought and come back, and they've won some victory. So we honor them because that process has made them. And when they choose them, they always look at the experience. Well, has he ever fought any war? Because they want to know they've got a skin in the game. They have done this before that they will not turn around and run. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So hang in there. Just wait. You will see what God will do. And then run consistently. Run light. Run clean. Run resiliently. Run consistently. Somebody say amen. There is a thing called the pace of Christian runners. And I shared this in the first service that you know, as Kenyans, you know, one of the things you see when people do the long distance races, they always, as people maybe even coming from the same country, they always begin together. They're consistent in their pace together because there is a pace setter. There is somebody that sets the pace. Whoever is good in the team, everybody's watching their feet. They get the rhythm. Somebody say amen. Did you know that God has called his church to have a rhythm? Yes. Can somebody say amen? And it's always just frustrating when people come and they come out of rhythm. And sometimes that could be as simple as, well, you know, Pastor, I know y'all worship well, but this is how we used to do it over there. It is not that the churches can't take suggestion, but I'm going to give you an idea. When the Lord brings you as a part of the body, find out what God is doing there and then submit into it. Can I hear an amen there? That is the truth. That is really important, because if the church had to run with everybody's vision, the church would have no vision. It would go whichever place. All of us have ideas. You can bless the work by asking, what can I do to help this work be successful? What can I add into this? How can I help in this so that we can succeed in what we are doing? Somebody say amen. There's going to be resilience. There needs to be consistency. We need to work together. There are things that you will need to let go. And I love the story from Fritz Kreisler, that is a great violinist. You know, and he was interviewed one time, and he just said, nothing that is of value is achieved without effort. And so the story goes that the famous violinist testified to this point when he said, narrow is the road that leads to the life of a violinist, hour after hour, day after day, and week after week. For years, I lived with my violin. There were so many things that I wanted to do that I had to leave undone. There were so many places I wanted to go that I had to miss if I was to master the violin. The road that I traveled was narrow road, and the way was hard. And I wish I could say it any differently. The way is not easy, but I tell you what, if you focus on the hope God has ahead of us, we will see the glory of the Lord happen. Philippians 3:12 tells us, I don't consider myself to have attained, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Is there one thing that you do that you concentrate on? There is a one thing that you do well. Run the race and run it well. And finally, as we have some music, consider Jesus. Consider the crowd that surrounds you. Consider yourself so that you're not a hindrance to yourself. But greatest of all, guys, listen. You could say, man, Philemon, oh, man. You know, Kathy, oh, Joyce or somebody else, man, they're great. As great as we are, we pale in the presence of Jesus. All of us are looking to him. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says that he now stay focused on Jesus who designed and perfected our faith. He endured the cross and ignored the shame of the death because he focused on the joy that was set before him. Listen, he ignored some things. Listen to me. It is not that the things you ignore are not important, but sometimes they are important, but they are not important as your goal. Somebody say amen. Somebody said, sometimes good can be the enemy of best. So sometimes you have to ignore the good in order to get the best. Somebody say amen. And so, focusing on the race of faith means we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He made it. He did it. We can do it. Somebody say amen. How about you this morning? Are there things that you may have in your life? Are there things that you need to leave back? Things that you need to ignore? Things that you need to lay down weights and sin and different issues in your life? Thank God that he's a gracious Father. He's a good God. As we cross into 2024, let's set aside the ways. Let's set aside the sins. Let's consider those that surround us. Let's consider ourselves. Let's consider Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Shall I have you bow down your heads and close your eyes? Just in a minute. Father, we thank you. Honor you for who you are. You are great. You're awesome. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your love. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The Spirit of the Lord is here. His presence is here. I just want to ask real quickly to give an opportunity. You may be here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you want to give your life to him. You want to commit your life to the Lord and say, Jesus, I'm yours. Do with me as you will. Maybe you were once a Christian and then you stepped away and today you're saying, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. We would love to give you that opportunity, crossing into a new year, a new person, new faith. So I just want to give you that opportunity. Anybody here today that you want Jesus in your life as your personal Savior, just raise your hand real quick and we'll pray with you. Anybody here today? Anybody here today? Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. I won't call you forward. I just want to say this prayer with me real quick from right there. Make sure you see one of the pastors. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you say, Lord Jesus, I come to you right now. I ask you to come into my heart. Change me. Set me free. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for washing me with your blood. For making me a new person. Thank you for being my Lord and Savior. I welcome you into my heart. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Oh, isn't he a good God? Let's stand on our feet as we are closing this service. I did this and I want to do it with you. I like it to surrender to the Lord. Whatever is in your heart, whatever you may be dealing with, whatever wrong messages the enemy has brought in your life, whatever voices you hear in your mind, in your heart, shall we raise our hands and just surrender to God? Let's surrender them all to Jesus right now. If you like to lift your voice, if you just like to say a prayer, if you just release it, you want to let it go, whatever weight, whatever baggage, whatever it is, whatever it is, just let it go. Father, thank you right now. Thank you right now. Thank you right now. Thank you, God. We just worship you for who you are. We praise you, God. Father, we let go every weight and every sin. And we ask for your cleansing power. We ask for your cleansing power right now. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. We pray that you would help our hearts to let go of the things that we hold on to, whether that's business and whether that's anxiety and bitterness and unforgiveness. Lord, whether that's feeling inadequate, low self-esteem, whatever we deal with, Father, disappointments in life in 2023, we lay those weights down right now. We surrender to you. We surrender our families to you, God. We surrender our children to you. We surrender this church to you. We surrender America to you. We surrender the world to you, God. We surrender, we yield to you. Help us to have a focus on the prophetic revelation, the race of faith set before us. We thank you for that. And we receive your focus and your vision. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a good hand clap. Let's just give him praise. Let's honor him. Let's magnify him. We praise him. Hallelujah. Guys, thank you for coming this morning. I pray that this word has spoken to your heart. I pray that you'll have a wonderful, wonderful 2024. Happy New Year to all of you. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.